Well, hallelujah. Well, are you excited this morning? Hallelujah. Well, good, because it's afternoon now. Well, praise God. What an awesome day it is. And has God been faithful to you?
Yes.
Did you enjoy your Thanksgiving?
Yes.
Were you thankful?
Yes.
Did you express your thankfulness?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Boy, it gets lower and lower and lower. Well, I certainly hope that you had an opportunity to testify during this Thanksgiving season of why you are thankful to God and for all the things that God has done for you over this past year, how he's brought us through so many challenges and difficulties. And God is faithful. He really is a faithful God. And that is why it's so important to be able to recognize when God is doing things so that we can give him the glory and the honor and praise. And so I've heard that phrase, that God may not come when you want him, but he's always right on time. Isn't that right? And God does show up at the right time, and he has a way of making a way for us even when it seems like nothing is happening. Things are always happening. And so often we have to learn how to trust God because he's got a lot of things that are going on in the background that affect what happens in the foreground. And so our focus in life has to be the right focus. We have to focus on the right things. And when we do, when we establish our relationship with God, and we build our relationship with God, then God reveals himself to us. Unless God reveals himself to us, we won't see. And so we need a revelation from God. And that requires a heart of faithfulness. And when your heart is faithful to God, when you've surrendered your life to God, and you're building and cultivating your relationship with God, God shows you more and more and more. And you begin to see over the years just how faithful God is. And so I would like to begin today by asking this question. Do you know that by focusing on the wrong subject, you can completely change your narrative or your story? Whatever it is that you focus on, that is going to affect the manner of life that we will experience. And by focusing on the wrong subject, we will have a wrong perspective of what is going on. We will only have a narrow view of what is actually taking place all around us. And that is why it's so important for us to be able to see things from God's perspective. God helps us block out the things that are not important so that we can focus on what is important. And that we would be able to see, despite the big picture, we would be able to see not only what God is saying and what he is doing, but we would recognize that he holds the lens that we are actually looking through. And God is the one who is enabling us to overcome, enabling us to see and to hear and to know from a divine perspective. God is our source. He is our provider. He is the one who is making a way for us. And despite dejection, we are abundantly supplied, and we are able to reflect the image of his glory. And so our theme for today is despite dejection. Despite being dejected, despite being cast down, despite hardships, difficulties, challenges, and problems, God is still the supplier of our needs. He is with us. He will never leave us nor forsake us. He is our divine, abundant supplier. And that is why we can continue to persevere in the ways of the Lord. Well, are you ready for the word of the Lord today? Hallelujah. Well, praise God. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word today, and we just ask, God, that you would arise in the midst of us. We rebuke the devourer in every hindering spirit that would block the hearing of the word of God, that would keep us from perceiving and hearing what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to us. God, enable us to receive this word today, that we would be able to walk in newness of life, that we would have divine confidence and the ability to operate in the power of God, that your witness would not be withheld, but the testimony of the Lord would be brought forth as the people of God stand strong in the midst of this lost and dying world. We thank you, Lord God, for all these things. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said, amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, despite being dejected, you and I can have confidence in knowing that the Lord is with us, that he is still working in the world today. And so often, as Christians, it becomes challenging over time to walk in the ways of the Lord. And sometimes we forget what God has done. And over again in the Word of God, throughout the Word of God, God is reminding his people to remember, to remember, 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 remember. Even Jesus said, "This do in remembrance of me." And so you and I are called first to remember the handiworks of God, the Word of God says. You have to be able to recognize when God is working in order to be able to remember it. Isn't that right? It's hard to remember something you can't see or you can't experience or you haven't experienced or don't even realize is going on. And so God wants us to establish a relationship with him so that revelation can come forth from that relationship. And to the degree that you cultivate your relationship with God, that will be the degree to which revelation will come to you. And that is why it's important to walk with God. Not just a belief, but an actual relationship where you are talking to God and listening to his voice, where we apply the word of God. And I know over and over again we hear as Christians, well, you got to have faith. Well, you got to read the word of God. Well, pray. Well, you got to do this and you got to do that. All those things are important, and if you don't do them, you're not going to have a divine abundance of the Christian life. You are going to find yourself questioning and wondering where God is and whether or not he's even real. Your faith will dwindle instead of grow. And that is why it's important to walk with the Lord. The more you walk with God, the more you gain experience in God, and the more you're able to hear his voice, and the more you're able to see what he is doing. And as we talk to God, as we go through our day, God makes himself known to us. And so in that process, you will be challenged because Satan doesn't want you to remember. He doesn't want you to walk with God. He wants you to be distracted. He wants you to be off your game so that everything is overwhelming. He wants you to be too tired. He wants you to be too busy. He wants you to be all caught up in focusing on the wrong things. And that is why it's important that your focus is aligned with God's. And as God enables you to see, God will also reveal the plans of the Lord, the ways of the Lord. You will see the faithfulness of God come forth out of your life. And that is why in Psalm 37, our lead verse today is, "But the humble will inherit the land and will delight themselves in abundant prosperity." You know, it begins here in verse 11 with this understanding that if you're humble, and whenever you see humble in the Word of God, it relates to those who are willing to set their own will aside and follow the will of God. That's what it means to be humble. It says, I'm not going to do what I think I should do. I'm going to do what God says I should do. I'm not going to do what I feel like doing. I'm going to do what the Lord says I should do. And I'm not going to let fear, I'm not going to let the hardships and the difficulties of life throw me off of my faithfulness to God. I am going to obey him. I'm going to trust him. And I'm going to look to him as my source in order to overcome the challenges that life brings my way. And so the humble will inherit the land. I don't know about you, but God is a provider, and I can testify to that. God will enable you to inherit things. When you need something, God will make a way. You may not even have to buy it. Someone might give it to you. But there's always some source that God has to make sure that you have what you need. And that is why it is important to testify of the Lord, to remember all of the things that he has done for us. You can remember when you had a need and you didn't know how that need was going to be met. And somehow God showed up. He met that need. He made a way. He opened a door. He touched somebody's heart. Something happened that was beyond your control and your ability, and that caused something to change so that your situation was made better. And this is what God does over and over again. And it's important for us to recognize when God is working and to see those things. And that's why the psalmist begins in 37 with, "Do not fret because of evildoers. Be not envious toward wrongdoers." And that's because Satan is always doing things to make the Christian feel like he's all alone or somehow we are lacking. And when you talk to people about the Lord, I'm sure you've had this experience, people say, "Well, I don't want to give up. Well, as a Christian, you can't do this and you can't do that." Have you ever heard the list of can't do's? What they fail to realize is it's not a list of can't do's, it's a list of don't want to do's. And that's what God does. He changes your focus. He changes your purpose in life so that now you're able to see from a divine perspective. Depending on your perspective, that will affect the decisions that you make and also how you think and the way you will feel ultimately. And so God says, "I am going to rewrite your ways so that you can experience life not as the world does, but from a divine perspective." And so God says, "I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom." Are you familiar with that passage? When he talks about the keys to the kingdom, he is talking about to understand, to unlock the mysteries of how the world works, of how the universe is operating, is held together, the very fundamentals of the design of the universe. Those are the keys of the kingdom. The keys to the kingdom of God. In other words, divine principles and ways that when you apply them in your life, it changes your life experience because now you're looking at life and going through life from a different vantage point. So verse 2 says, "They will wither quickly like the grass and fade like the green herb. So trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness." And so God has called us to trust in the Lord. That means even when it doesn't seem like it makes sense, trust him. Trust him and do good. What is the challenge? The challenge is to do good. Because if you trust in the Lord and do good, then you will dwell in the land and you will be able to what? Cultivate faithfulness. In other words, if you're doing good, that establishes a testimony for others to see and experience. And then, as we learn from the other passage, God will enable you to dwell in the land. He will bless you in the land. And then you will cultivate faithfulness. Others will see the blessing of God upon your life, hear your testimony and your story as you give God the credit, give him the glory, give him the honor and the praise, and that will breathe faithfulness into the hearts of the people around you. And people around you will also learn the faithfulness of God. They will understand the reality of God. And so he encourages us here. The psalmist says, commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he will do it. Hallelujah. Do you want God to do this in your life? Well, trust in the Lord. Commit your way to the Lord. Notice it says, trust also. In other words, do good, do what the will of the Lord would be, and then trust him in doing that. Let God carry you through the doing good, and he will do it. But you have to commit. You see that word? Commit. This is a word a lot of people have a problem with. There are a lot of wishy-washy people out there. One minute they're trying to go to do what God wants them to do, then the next minute they're doing what the world does. Then over here they're trying to do what God wants, then over here they do what the world does. That is a double-minded person, right? Isn't that what the Bible says? A double-minded person, a double-minded man is unstable in all their ways, and they should not expect anything from God. That's what the Word of God says. And so if you're double-minded, you void the warranty. You void the warranty. And God says, you got to commit. If you commit your way to the Lord, you're all in, then trust in him through that process, and he will do it. Hallelujah. He will do it. Amen. And so he says, he will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your judgment as the noonday. So rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who carries out wicked schemes. And God says, don't worry about those evildoers, those schemers, those people who are up to no good. You do good so that you can rest in the Lord. You know, when you start doing good, you can rest in the Lord. Hallelujah. You don't have anxiety. You don't get all worked up. Why? Because you have the peace of God. You're able to wait on the Lord. You said, I'm just trusting in the Lord. I'm going to keep doing good, and I'm going to wait patiently for the Lord. And so God says, don't fret because of those who are prospering in their way. Don't worry about other people. It may seem like they're getting away with things, but God is not through with them yet. And God has his hand on you, and he will make a way for you. Hallelujah. Why? Because you're doing good. You can't do like they do, because if you do like they do, you get what they get. Hallelujah. So you don't want that. You want to do the will of God so that goodness can be applied in your life, in your situation. He says, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only leads to evil doing. Hallelujah. You know that doing these things causes you to be angry and upset when you respond the wrong way. And the next thing you know, you're doing the wrong thing. Isn't that right? The next thing you know, you're saying the wrong thing. And that's why you have to stop anger. As soon as you start feeling angry, you got to bring that under subjection. You got to say, God, help me. Sometimes you just got to call on Jesus. You just got to say, Jesus, Jesus. And you got to wait for the Spirit of the Lord to wash over you. You need the Holy Spirit to rise it. You know when there's power in the name of Jesus? I know we say it all the time, but there really is power in the name of Jesus. And when you say the name of Jesus, the anointing of God sparks. Hallelujah. It will spark. And that is why it's important for us to have a relationship with God. Because when you have a relationship with God and you call him, he picks up. Hallelujah. He doesn't look at the caller ID and go, yeah, maybe tomorrow. Not today. I'll talk to you later. God responds. He responds to his people. And so we can trust that God is with us. He says, evildoers will be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord, they will inherit the land. Can you wait for the Lord? Don't take matters into your own hand. Don't assess and assume before God has his say. We wait on the Lord. We trust in the Lord. And we have to learn how to pull back and say, God, I'm giving this over to you. I know you got this. I'm going to trust in the Lord. You handle it, Lord. And sometimes you got to say, get them. Get them, Lord. I'm putting you on the case. Remember the little rascals? You guys are probably too young, right? They had the little dog, Petey. They were the sick 'em, Petey. Sick 'em, right? We got to put the Lord on the case. And you got to say, Lord, get them. Lord, handle this. I'm giving it over to you. It's better to give it over to God than to take matters into your own hands. Let the Lord go after them. Send the Lord after them. Do you have a relationship with God? If you have a relationship with God, then you can talk to God about everything. And when it bothers you, you tell God, look, Lord, this bothers me. When you're going through difficult times, you talk to God about it. God will make a way. He will cause things to work out in your behalf if you wait on the Lord. Verse 4 says of Jeremiah 1, it says, now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I have appointed you a prophet to the nations. And so what greater story than the story of Jeremiah to help us understand that life can be difficult as a child of God, as a man or woman of God. Life can be challenging, even overwhelmingly difficult. And it is up to us to remain faithful to God. And even as we see here in the life of Jeremiah, it was his relationship with God that helped him have a right perspective, to keep focus on the things of God, the will of God, so that he would not forget what God had done for him and what God had promised him. And one of the things that we see, and we read the word of God, we have from Genesis to Revelation, it seems like everything happened one thing after the next. Boom, 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 boom. Like it was one, two, three. But there were literally hundreds of years in between events that we see in Scripture. Sometimes there were whole generations that never heard anything other than what their forefathers had told them, what God had said. And that gap in time caused people to lose faith in God. But yet God still held them accountable for what he said. And when you look at the Old Testament especially, you see that what God said to Moses and what God said to Joshua, God was still holding them accountable in Jeremiah's day. And often throughout the word of God, he's referring all the way back to Abraham. He's referring all the way back to Moses and Joshua and all those whom God had spoken to, even the prophets, to David and to all those who the Lord used to minister his word to the people. God spoke to them as if they were one nation, and that nation was held accountable to the word of God. And that is still true even today. You and I are being held accountable to the word of God. It's been passed along from generation to generation. And he has now come to us in the 21st century, and he is even saying to us, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you, and I have appointed you a prophet to the nations. You and I have been called to go out into the world to preach the gospel, to declare the word of God, to testify of what God has done in our lives. That is your one single mission in your life. That is the only thing God is going to be looking to see that you accomplish when you stand before God. Were you a witness to the world? Did you heed the call of God? Did you go into the world and testify of God? Did you share your life story? Did you share your testimony? Did you speak of Christ and the cross and all that he accomplished for you? Not for anybody else, but for you. How has God made a difference in your life? Were you willing to obey the will of God and not just go based on how you felt? And so God knew us even while we were still in the womb. And he says in verse 6, at last, Lord God, behold, I do not know how to speak because I am a youth. Well, there's a good excuse, right? He says, God, I'm too young. I can't be a witness for you. I can't be a prophet. A prophet? I'm a teenager. I'm a young kid. I can't be a prophet. Yes, you can. If God has done something for you, if God has anointed you and called you, you are to be a witness to the world. Age is not the relevant factor. The point is, what has God done in your life? And it doesn't matter if you're in kindergarten or if you're in eighth grade or fifth grade or ninth grade or 12th grade or college, or if you graduated and you're on the job and you're working, you got family and you're doing whatever it is, wherever you are in life, you're old and you're laying at home, can't get up. You be a witness. And you are called to be one who testifies of God. Everyone in your class ought to know about Jesus. Everyone who you interact with on your job ought to know about Christ and what he's done for you. You ought to have the opportunity and seize those opportunities to be the witness that God has called you to be. You don't have to chase people down. God will bring people to you. Hallelujah. No one comes to you unless God sends them. Hallelujah. You're on assignment to them. And so we have to be aware and recognize that God is helping us to open doors so that he can be glorified in our lives. And that's why God brings people into our lives. That's why God opens doors and he makes a way. So we can't say, like Jeremiah, I am a youth. And God says, yeah, get your buns up. Boom. And he gets them up and he says, get on out there, young man. I got a job for you. No one is too young. No one is too old. He says, do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Isn't that encouraging? I tell you what, I'm ready to go now. Hallelujah. When the Lord says, don't be afraid, because that was my problem. Isn't that right? I'm Jeremiah. I'm a young kid. I'm saying, I'm just a youth. Why is he saying that? That's fear talking. Fear is talking. Fear, I can't talk to people. I can't talk to, they're all adults. They're all mature. They're older than me. I can't tell them what the word of God says. God says, yes, you can. Yes, you can. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you. Because that's what you need, right? Nobody wants to hear, well, the Lord is with you, brother. Don't worry about it. Go ahead. No. That's only half of it. He's with me to deliver me. That's the part I need. I need to know that he's not just going to be there. Yeah, sorry to see what's happening to you there, son, but it sure is tough. But don't worry. You'll be all right. No, God is there to deliver us. Hallelujah. God is there to deliver us. He's there to do something. He's not just there to be there. He's there to deliver us. In other words, he's going to make a way for us. All you have to do is ask Joseph. Joseph went through challenges and difficulties and hardships, and God kept opening doors. He kept making a way. Even when he was in the places of imprisonment, God made it reasonable for him. He buffeted him in those places. And God will buffet you. He will buffer you. And as you are buffered, God will enable you to prevail and overcome. He will deliver you. And so even though you go through challenges and difficulties, you will know that the Lord is with you because of your faithfulness to God, because of your relationship to God. And so in Jeremiah 20, it says, when Pashur the priest, the son of Emer, who was chief officer in the house of the Lord, he heard that Jeremiah was prophesying these things, and Pashur had Jeremiah the prophet beaten and put him in the stocks that were at the upper Benjamin gate, which was by the house of the Lord. Oh, my goodness. Could you imagine? Can you imagine this? Here you are. God, you told me to go talk to these people, and now I'm getting beaten? I'm getting beaten by the priests. I'm getting beaten by the priests. Could you imagine? Here you are trying to serve God and do well, and then your pastor beats you. Oh, my Lord, could you imagine? This is discouragement. Is this not discouraging? Could you imagine coming to church and getting a beating? Because you testified and did the will of God. because you shared what God told you to share. You did what God called you to do. And this is what happened to Jeremiah. And here it was, and there it is. It says, he was by the house of the Lord. Oh my goodness. Could you imagine getting a beating outside the house of God? I tell you, that will discourage you, wouldn't it? Wouldn't that discourage you? Could you imagine getting beat up outside the church by the deacons and the leaders of the church? Could you imagine? Oh my goodness. This is Jeremiah's life. This is discouraging. They put him in stocks. This is his punishment for speaking the truth. But it didn't discourage Jeremiah from speaking the truth. And saints of God, nothing should discourage you from speaking the truth. Even if you have to suffer in this way or another, God is with you. God will make a way for you. God didn't say, Jeremiah, don't worry, I'll be with you. It's going to be a breeze. It's going to be easy. I got this. No. Jeremiah is laying here and he's probably going, Lord, a little help. A little help here. This is not what I had in mind. This is actually what I was afraid would happen. Help, Lord. And God helped him. God delivered him from the stocks. God delivered him from the stocks. He did what he promised he would do. And God will do the same for you. God will hold forth his promise when you are faithful to God and you do what God has called you to do. Yes, people will get upset. People may not like it. They may not want to hear the truth. They may not want to hear your story, your testimony. But I'm going to tell you, God will enable you to overcome. No matter what you face, the Lord will be with you. And so Jeremiah was able to live and reign because of God's faithfulness. And this is why they called him the weeping prophet. I'd be crying too if I was getting beat up by my own priests and the people of God. I would be depressed. I would be down myself. And so we need to hold on to one thing that no one can take from us, and that is our faith in God, our relationship with God. God is faithful. You see, Jeremiah heard the voice of the Lord, and he trusted in God, and God was with him. And God proved it when he released him from the stocks, when he got him out of the problem that he was in. And so it says in verse 1 of 26, in the beginning of the reign of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, a king of Judah, this word came from the Lord. Now, this is the second king. The first king was Josiah, and Josiah was a good king. In fact, he was one of the few good kings of Israel. And he was a young king, and he did well in the sight of the Lord, and he reigned for about 31 years or so. And the Lord was with him because he was relatively faithful to God. And the reason that he was able to be faithful to God is because he actually listened as Jeremiah was preaching, and he applied the word of God. And when you and I hear the word of God and we apply it in our lives, then we will grow in our faith in God. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. And the more we hear the word of the Lord, our faith ought to increase. Satan tries to rob us of the seed, right? The sower who sows the seed. Satan tries to quench that seed. He tries to rob you of it and causes you to question the word of God. Remember Eve in the garden. Did God really say, the serpent said to her? Isn't that right? This is what Satan puts in people's minds. Is God really real? Is the Bible really true? Is God really who he says he is? Is this really right? And all these, that is the voice of Satan. And this is easily recognized by any elementary school student who goes to some sort of Bible class can understand this basic principle. And when we hear and negativity and we hear the questioning regarding the word of God, we recognize that that is the voice of the evil one. He is there to rob you of your blessings and your opportunities to testify of God so that we are rendered ineffective in our witness. And so Jeremiah was a man who was going through these challenges, but the one thing he held on to was his faith in God. Because God said, I knew you from your time you were in a womb, and I'm with you to deliver you. And I'll tell you one thing, if anything's going to stick with me, it's that last part, to deliver me. Okay, Lord, I'm ready for deliverance. I'm ready for you to intervene. I'm ready for you to make a way. He goes on, he says, thus says the Lord, stand in the court of the Lord's house and speak to all the cities of Judah who have come to worship in the Lord's house. All the words that I have commanded you to speak to them, do not omit a word. Woo! Now, that's a challenging task. Here is God raising up Jeremiah again and charging him to go and speak what God has commanded him to say. And he says, do not omit a word. And I know I would be thinking, if I was Jeremiah, all right, Lord, let this be a good word. Let this be an easy word for people to digest, to receive. Well, he goes on here in verse 3, he says, perhaps they will listen, and everyone will turn from his evil way, that I may repent of the calamity which I am planning to do to them because of the evil of their deeds. Notice the consistency. God is looking at what people do. It's your deeds that reveal the heart. Deeds reveal the condition of the heart. When you do evil deeds, when you do things contrary to God, it means your heart is not right with God. Your heart is not in alignment with God. And so what you do is the sum of what is adding up in your heart. And God has called us to be doers of the word and not just hearers only. And so we are looking for God to deliver us, and God is wanting to make a way. And he says, perhaps they will listen. Perhaps today people will listen. Perhaps when you share your testimony and you talk to people about the Lord, perhaps they will listen. This is God saying perhaps. Wait a minute, God is saying perhaps? Yes, God is saying perhaps, because perhaps they will listen, and then everyone will turn from his evil way. And then he says, then I will repent. I will change my direction. The things that I was going to do, my deeds towards them will change. That's what God is saying. In other words, if you listen to God and obey his word, your life experience will change. God will cause things to change in your life. He will make a way for you. He will sustain you. He will keep you from evil. He will buffer you so that whatever you go through in life, he will be with you to deliver you. Hallelujah. And so he says, and you will say to them, thus says the Lord, if you will not listen to me to walk in my law, which I have sent before you, to listen to the words of my servants, the prophets, whom I have been sending to you again and again, but you have not listened, then I will make this house like Shiloh, and this city I will make a curse to all the nations of the earth. And so God is saying, if you listen, you'll be blessed. But if you don't, you will be cursed, and you'll be exposed to all the nations. The world will see that you are under divine curse, that the hand of God is actually against you and not with you. And this is what happens when we fail to hear the word of God, when we fail to apply the word of God. Sin has a consequence. And the consequences of sin, no one can deliver you from. God is the only one who can help you. And he helps you by helping you to avoid it, to get away from it. And so the whole reason they're in the situation that they're in Jeremiah's day is because the people did not listen to the voice of the prophets. And God sent them prophet after prophet again and again and again, and they did not listen. And because they did not listen, Jeremiah is here giving them one last cry, and he's crying out to them. He's begging. He's pleading. And yet his own priests are beating him. Good Lord. Here he is suffering and challenging. And there's sometimes a heavy price for standing up for what is right and what is true. But you and I must learn how to do it. We must trust in the Lord also and have faith in God as we do good deeds, as we do the right thing. And so the priests and the prophets and all the people heard Jeremiah speaking these words in the house of the Lord. And so everybody was listening, and it was impacting them. And they were being affected by what Jeremiah was saying, even convicted in their hearts. And it says when Jeremiah finished speaking all that the Lord had commanded him to speak to all the people, the priests and the prophets and all the people seized him, saying, "You must die." Good Lord. Could you imagine? After I finish preaching my sermon, the whole congregation gets up, says, "You must die." And they all tackle me. I go after me. This is Jeremiah's experience. Oh, how do you have faith in God? How do you hold on when every time you do what God says to do, you end up in trouble? You end up with people going against you, with people beating you. And see, here he is now. He's attacked. He went from just the priest beating him. Now he's got the priests and the congregation have joined in. Everybody's against him. Is your life this difficult? Is your life this hard? When you stand up for what is right and what is true, do you get mobbed? Well, saints of God, I tell you that whatever it is that you're going through, God is able to deliver you. Because Jeremiah was delivered from all of these things. God delivered him. He made a way for him. And he will do the same for you. Yes, he was the weeping prophet. He cried. And you will cry. There are times in your life when you're trying to do the right thing and you're trying to help others, maybe loved ones and family members and coworkers and people, and you see them going the wrong way and you see their lives just taking a wrong turn and they're going in a bad direction. It's heart-wrenching. It makes you cry. You cry, you weep for the people that you love. And God is trying to give them one last chance. This isn't God trying to chastise them and punish them. He's saying, look, guys, I'm looking into the future. I know how the universe has been designed. And I'm telling you, if you would change your way and do this, that you will have a different life experience. It will change everything for you. This is the message that God is bringing to his people. In verse 26 of Jeremiah 36, he says, "And the king commanded Jeremiel, the king's son, Seraiah, the son of Azrael, the Shelemiah, the son of Abadiel, to seize Baruch, the scribe, and Jeremiah, the prophet. But the Lord hid them." Hallelujah. But the Lord hid them. You see, wouldn't that give you a boost of confidence? It says the Lord. How does the Lord hide somebody? I don't know. I don't even understand that. I would have loved to have been a part of that. Well, maybe not. I'll just appreciate hearing the story. But the Lord hid them. God covered them so that they couldn't be seized. They couldn't be arrested. You and I, we can navigate through life. God has a way of hiding his people, of covering you. He will make a way for you. Some things you will have to endure. Some things you will have to suffer. And Jesus said, in this world, you will have tribulations. You will have sufferings. There will be difficulties. But don't worry. Be of good cheer. He has overcome the world. You and I are not stuck in this place where we're going to suffer disaster after disaster and problem after problem. The Lord is a deliverer. Hallelujah. That is what he does. He specializes in delivering his people. That is why Christ came into the world. He came to set the captives free. Verse 11 says, "Now it happened when the army of the Chaldeans had lifted the siege from Jerusalem because of Pharaoh's army, that Jeremiah went out from Jerusalem to go to the land of Benjamin in order to take possession of some property there among the people. And so here's Jeremiah now. He's traveling. This is years have gone by, and now the siege has been lifted, and all the captives, those who held them captive, are kind of, things are kind of quieting down a little bit. And so Jeremiah's free now to go handle some business transaction. He's going to get some real estate deal that worked out that he had been apparently working on. And he's on his way to this place. And then when he gets to the gate of Benjamin here in verse 13, a captain of the guard whose name was Irijah, the son of Shelemiah, the son of Hananiah, was there. And aren't you glad that we don't have to go through all this to share our names today? You know, it says he was arrested. Jeremiah gets arrested by this guy, and he says to them, "You're going over to the Chaldeans." Wait a minute, what? I'm going to handle my business. I'm just going to do what you know we all have to do on occasion. I'm going to handle some real estate transaction. I'm not pleading. The Chaldeans were the enemy. Those were the ones who were oppressing them. They were the oppressors. And they were charging him with working with the oppressor. Why? Well, the reason they were saying that is probably because he said, when the Chaldeans come, give in to them. Go and, you know, otherwise you won't live. You'll die. So just put your arms down and go to the Chaldeans, and they'll have mercy on you. They will keep you alive. And so they said, no, you're working with the enemy. And so they bore false witness against him. Has anyone ever borne false witness against you? Have you ever been in a situation where people said things about you that were not true? Or when people accused you of things that absolutely were not true and that wasn't right, and have said things that were not right? Well, here's Jeremiah. He's getting beaten by his priests. He's getting beaten by congregations and mobs of people. Here he is, and now he is being arrested, and he's being put in prison, so that because he was saying that he was falsely accused of consigning with the enemy. God knows all that you and I suffer. He knows all that we go through, and he is there to deliver us. Says Jeremiah said, "A lie! I am not going over to the Chaldeans." Yet he wouldn't listen to him. He wouldn't listen. And so Irijah arrested Jeremiah and brought him to the officials. Boy, this Jeremiah can't catch a break, can he? Do you wonder why he's weeping? Do you wonder why he's crying? I tell you, no matter how difficult, no matter how challenging your life may be, do you have this many series of misfortunate events over and over again as you try to do what's right before God? That's the most disheartening part, is he is doing what God says to do. He is doing the will of God. And sometimes we do the will of God and it seems like nothing is working. Have you ever been in that place where you're doing the will of God and it seems like things just aren't working? Well, I can assure you, God has a plan. God has a plan. And if you remain faithful, if you can remember, the story is not over. Jeremiah is only halfway through his life. We're only here in this part of the story. And I can tell you that the story goes on from here. And your story goes on from where we are, where you are. And whatever your situation is, your story is not over. This is just the beginning. God says, keep focused. Keep focused on the right thing, on the things that I am asking you to do, the things that I have said to do, and pull back and see that I am enabling you to see. I am enabling you to know and to understand. And so Jeremiah then was in the hands of these officials, and the officials, it says in verse 15, were angry at Jeremiah and beat him. And they put him in jail in the house of Jonathan, the scribe, which they made into a prison. Saints of God, here he is again, getting beat again. Getting beat again. Here he is suffering because of who he was because he was a man of God, because he was speaking the truth of God. And you and I may suffer for speaking truth and for doing what is right, but don't worry, because God has given us a promise. He says, I called you from when you were in the womb. And guess what? I am with you to deliver you. I am with you to deliver you. God will make a way. He will see you through. No matter how bad it looks, no matter what you're enduring, no matter what your problem is, you hold on and be faithful to God. Trust in the Lord, and he will see you through. God will make a way. It will not last forever. Joy endures for a night. Weeping enjoys for a night. But joy, it comes in the morning. She's got to get that right. Hallelujah. Right? Weeping endures for a night. But joy, at least you're paying attention. All right. Hallelujah. Comes in the morning. And so God is able to deliver us. He's able to make a way. It's what he does. In Jeremiah 38, 1 to 6, he says, now Shephatiah, the son of Mattan, Gedaliah, the son of Pasher, and Jukal, the son of Shelemiah, and Pasher, the son of Malkijah, heard the words that Jeremiah was speaking to all the people. And he was saying, thus says the Lord, he who stays in this city will die by the sword and by famine and by pestilence. But he who goes out to the Chaldeans will live and have his own life as booty and stay alive. Hallelujah. God will save your booty. Yes, he will keep you alive. He will sustain you. He will keep you. God will enable you to overcome. He is making a way out. God is... Can you say that? It's in the Bible. It's there. Yeah. God wants to make a way. God is always making a way. No matter what your situation is, God is making a way. When you call upon the name of the Lord, he will deliver you, right? Isn't that what the Romans says? It says, if you call upon the name of the Lord, he will deliver us. He will set us free. He will save us. God will make a way. And he is saying to them, look, the Chaldeans are going to help you. They are going to at least keep you alive. You might have to be servants, but at least you'll be alive. It's better to live and fight another day, isn't it? And so this is what God is saying. He's saying, I'm going to at least enable you to live. All you have to do is hear my voice and follow me, like Jesus said. In other words, hear the word of the Lord and just do what God says. And you and I have this opportunity all the time. We find ourselves in situations and circumstances. Sometimes we don't know what to do. We have to say, God, show me what to do. Lead me in the way that you would have me to go. And God will make his way known to you. And if you pray and if you search the scriptures for some direction so that you can understand what principle to apply in your situations and circumstances, God will direct you and then he will make a way out for you. This is what God does. All you have to do is be faithful to God. Just cultivate your relationship with God. He says, thus says the Lord, this city will certainly be given over to the hand of the army of Babylon, and he will capture it. Now, this is important because Babylon is referred to throughout the Old Testament and even in Revelation. And it's a city that represents when God has come or allows the people to suffer captivity. And it's a picture of people who do not listen to the word of God. And over again, Jeremiah's ministry lasted for 40 years and people did not listen. Over and over again, he was getting beat. He was not even getting beaten by the Chaldeans or by the Egyptians or by the people who were oppressing them. He was getting beat by his own people. His own people, the people who were supposed to be in covenant relationship with God. They were not with him. They were against him. And saints of God, sometimes even Christians, miss God. Even people who claim to represent God or know God, they are a big mess. And I don't know about you, but I know in my lifetime, I've worked with a lot of people who claim to be Christians, but I would have never known they were Christians until it came up and I said something about the church or the Lord and they revealed that they were Christians. Otherwise, I would have never guessed in a million years by the way they talked, by the way they carried themselves, by the way they worked on the job, their whole interactions and their lack of patience and fruit of the Spirit. They're just unbelievable how well they fit into the world. It was shocking to understand that, wait, you're a Christian? Wow. Wow. I would have never guessed. And so, saints of Lord, saints of God, the Lord wants us to understand. He wants us to hear and obey. The moment you just listen to God, this seems so simple, doesn't it? It's like, look, God is telling you, if you want to live, we're all in captivity, clearly. You know, we've been captured by these other nations. And so God is saying, I'm trying to make a way out for you. If you just listen and do what I say, it's a sign of faith and trust in God. That's all God is looking for. Just that simple step. And yet, they failed. And so, saints of God, this is what happens when we miss God. But God doesn't quit. God keeps giving us another chance. He keeps giving us opportunity after opportunity. Even Jeremiah, he was, after he got beat, he was put in stocks. And he still gets up and does what God says. Then he gets beat by the priest, and he still does what God says. He gets beat by a crowd. He still does what God says. He gets arrested and thrown in jail and gets beat again. He still gets up and does what God says. Why? Because God is a deliverer. And as long as you can get up, that's faithfulness of God. That is the faithfulness of God. Every time you get up and you have a new opportunity, God is giving you another chance. And he is saying, okay, perhaps today you will listen and you will go and you will tell your coworkers, I will create an opportunity for you and you will share with the students in your class or you will share with the people I send your way. I'm going to open up a way. I'm going to open up a door. Maybe today you will testify of what the Lord has done in your life. God is certainly making a way out for us again and again and again. He says, then the official said to the king, now let this man be put to death, inasmuch as he is discouraging the men of war who are left in this city and all the people by speaking such words to them. For this man is not seeking the well-being of this people, but rather their harm. Isn't this what the world does? It takes what God is saying and what he is doing and twists it to make evil look good and good look evil. This is what is happening in the world even today. This is what is going on. Christians are under attack because we stand for the truths of God. We say what God says about things in life, about how life works, how humanity and creation was established and designed. We hold to the truths of God, and the world is taking the words and twisting them and using them against us. This is what is happening to Jeremiah again and again and again. And here they're calling for him to be put to death. And they're misrepresenting what God is trying to do. They're not understanding. They're not seeing from God's perspective. Their perspective is on the wrong thing. And so in verse 5 it says, King Zedekiah said, behold, he is in your hands, for the king can do nothing against you. In other words, yeah, you guys want to put him to death? Go ahead. And then they took Jeremiah and they cast him into the cistern of Malchuchai, and the king's son, which was in the court of the guardhouse. And they let Jeremiah down with ropes, down into the cistern. There was no water, but only mud. And Jeremiah sank into the mud. And that is why I have mud on my shoes. You see, sometimes we get let down in the mud. That is where you will find yourself when you stand up for truth. Sometimes we find ourselves in the muck, in the mire. We get let down into the cistern. Have you ever been let down by people you trusted, by people who you thought had your back, who would understand, who would be able to relate? Have you ever found yourself in difficult situations where it seems like you're all alone down in the cistern? This is a cistern, and they drop you down into this deep well-like hole, this pit, where the water, it's almost, sometimes they were used for water wells, sometimes they were used as sewers. And in this case, it was a sewer well, and they're dropping him down into a place where there's muck and mire down in the bottom. And saints of God, no more humiliation than that. There is no greater humiliation than trying to do the will of God and then being tossed into a hole to sink down in the mud. And saints of God, God is still a deliverer. Even when you're down in the cistern, there is still hope. God is still going to make a way. He will still open the door. Why? Because it's not the end of the story. You and I are in the middle of the story because one day we will be in a better place. You see, Jeremiah held on to the word of God. He held on to the truths of God. He was there for five kings. He served for the lifespan of five kings. The first king was Josiah. And Josiah served for about 31 years. And then there was Jehoahaz, who only lasted 3 months. He was so evil that he only survived 3 months. Him and Jehoiachin, those two guys were so evil, they only lasted for 3 months each. And the other two guys, Jehoiakim and Jedekiah, those two guys lasted 11 years. Isn't that interesting how that matches up? Two guys for 3 months, two guys for 11 years. And this is what God will bring you through. God gave Jeremiah a long ministry life. Even though he went through all this, could you imagine the stories he was telling to his children? And it's, oh, wait a minute. One of the things he gave up was he never married. So he never had children. He never had a lineage to leave. It was one of the things he gave up for the cause and the work of the ministry. He gave up a family in order to serve and honor God. And saints of God, this is the type of sacrifice that Jeremiah made. And you might be making sacrifices as well. You might be going through challenges and difficulties, but I can assure you the story of the Lord will be told. You have a witness. You have a testimony. And no matter what, God is watching. He is the one who is writing your story. He is the one who is making a way for you so that you can have a legacy to leave. And that is why Jeremiah is written in the Word of God today. Because he didn't have a family. There was no one to pass on the story from generation to generation. So God said, I will write it down. I will write down your story. And you and I have a story to tell. We have a life to live. God is writing your story. Your story's not over. You are in the midst of being delivered. He is making a way for you. He is giving you opportunity. He is making a way out for you. He is opening doors for you. He is enabling you to see things even though you don't see them. You might be laying there in the pit, but yet God is at work. And Jeremiah was delivered from the cistern. He ultimately was pulled out and he was set free. And God delivered him and made a way for him, just like he will make a way for you. Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And one day you will stand before the Lord and your story will be told. And he will share and you will see of all that God did for you in your life, how he made a way for you, how he delivered you, how he was operating in ways you didn't even see. You ought to be giving God the glory and all the honor and the praise. Every time you get through something, you ought to say, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. And I'm sure that God will receive your praise when you acknowledge him. Hallelujah. Verse 8 says of Jeremiah 29, he says, "For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, let not your false prophets and your diviners and who are in your midst deceive you. Pay no attention and attach no significance to your dreams which you dream or to theirs." Think about that. "For they prophesy falsely to you in my name. I have not sent them, says the Lord." Hallelujah. In other words, don't you believe the hype. All of this negativity, you and I have a relationship. I will tell you what I have to say. And saints of God, we have to learn how to hear the voice of the Lord, how to hear from God, so that when people start talking nonsense to us, we will recognize that the Lord did not send them, because what they're saying does not align with what God is saying to you. And you and I have to be able to have confidence in God. Believe me, he has the ability to speak directly to you. And you can trust him, and you can walk with him, and you can hear the voice of the Lord. He says, "For thus says the Lord, when the 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will visit you and keep my good promise to you, causing you to return to this place." In other words, I'm going to restore everything back to the way it originally was when I gave you the promised land. I am going to restore you. This is what God does. God is in the restoration business. God is in the place of fulfilling his promises. Do you know the promises of God? If you don't know the promises of God, how do you have an expectation of what God can do for you? In fact, what he is doing for you. This is why we must know the word of the Lord. And as we get to know the word of God, we get to know God. God begins to reveal himself to us. So that is why we read the word of God. We meditate on it day and night. It's so that we can get to know him, so that the Spirit of God can fill us through his word. As you abide in his word, the Spirit of God strengthens you. He washes over you. He renews you. He revives you. He enables you to operate in his own attributes. He will enable his good promises to come to life in the midst of your life. He says in verse 11, "For I know the thoughts and the plans that I have for you, says the Lord, thoughts and plans for welfare and peace, and not for evil, to give you hope in your final outcome." Hallelujah. Saints of God, we have hope in our final outcome. Here is Jeremiah. He's been beaten. He's been put in stocks. He has been arrested and jailed. He has been thrown in a cistern. He has been beaten again. And he has found himself with one problem after the next, falsely accused of being a traitor and all kinds of things. But saints of God, God delivered him from it all. And you and I can have this confidence that God has a thought of plans of hope for him. And here is Jeremiah receiving a word from God. This is the word of the Lord. And he is letting the people know. He is saying, guys, don't forget the faithfulness of God. And so God is reminding the people of their future. And he says, "Do not be afraid of them," in verse 8, "for I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord." Jeremiah remembering what God said to him in the very beginning. I pray that you today are able to remember the promises of Jesus to you today. Jesus said, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit," in Matthew 28, 19 and 20. He says, "Teaching them to observe all that I command you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Doesn't that sound familiar? Isn't that similar to what God said to Jeremiah? And if God said that to Jeremiah and he was able to endure all he endured, how much more you and I can trust that Jesus is going to be there with us. He will enable us to overcome even to the end of the age. Mark 4:35 says, "On that day when evening came, Jesus said to them, let us go over to the other side. That was a promise. And no matter what storms come in your life, no matter what difficulties you face, no matter what hardships you find yourself having to go through, know that you will make it to the other side. God is with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. He will make a way for you. John 14, 1 and 4 says, do not let your heart be troubled. Saints of God, don't let your heart be troubled. Don't let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me, Jesus said. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions, many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. Why? Because he loves you. You're in covenant relationship with him. You have established a walk of life with him. He is sustaining you. He's keeping you. He's opening doors. He's enabling you to see and focus on the right thing so you can navigate through life. And even when you find yourself in problematic situations from doing the right thing, the Lord will deliver you from it all. He will make a way for you. He said, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And so the end of the story is great, saints of God. One day we will see him as he is. We will be with him. And the story will then reveal the glory of God. Your story and my story will tell of the faithfulness of God. It says, and you know the way where I am going. Saints of God, do you know the way where Jesus is going? Do you know the way? Well, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Saints of God, trust in the Lord today. Know that God is faithful. Do good. Verse 3 says of Psalm 37, he says, dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. Can you dwell in the land? Can you cultivate faithfulness? Can you help others come to faith in Christ, come to faith in God, to experience God as you share your testimony, as you do, as verse 4 says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Are you delighting yourself in the Lord? Oh, that's why I'm jumping. I'm praising God. I'm delighting myself. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And we ought to be celebrating and giving God the glory. So many Christians are down in the mouth and they're all gloom and gloom, saying, oh, God's not doing anything for me fast enough for me. I can't see anything. Well, when you start praising God, when you start worshiping him, when you start acknowledging him for what he's already done, when you start recognizing that he has delivered you from the stocks, and he's delivered you from the crowds and the mobs and the beatings, and he's opened doors and he's made a way for you. He has blessed you. He has provided for you. He has done amazing things in your life. You have something to shout about and to give God the glory, to give him all the honor and the praise. So commit your way to the Lord, saints of God. Trust also in him, and he will do it. He will make a way. That is why the humble possess the land, and they have delighted themselves in the abundance of peace. Do you possess the land? Well, you do. It's time for you to acknowledge that God has blessed you, that he has made a way for you. Delight yourselves in the abundance of the peace of God, and let his glory fill your life so you can have a right focus. See what God sees and pull back and know that you are in his hands. He is enabling you. He is making a way for you so that you can overcome. And despite the dejection, God is still writing your story here on earth. It's only the beginning. And today's suffering will lead to tomorrow's legacy through divine abundance as God provides and enables you to reflect the image of his glory so that you can prevail beyond the times. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet. For God so loved God.
faithful to God. If you're faithful to God, He is faithful to us. And if you begin to live a life of gratitude and thanksgiving and appreciating the things that He has already done, remind yourself of what God has done for you and give Him glory. Give Him the praise. Be grateful. Be thankful. Allow the joy of the Lord to stir in your heart. Allow the peace of God to rest, rule, and abide in the midst of your life. And God will be glorified. He will be lifted up. And He'll begin to show you more and more and more, more and more about what He is doing. And you will see the faithfulness of God. I know it may seem like it's been a while since God has done something in some of your lives. But don't you fret and don't you worry. Start giving Him glory and honor for what you know He's already done. And it will change your perspective on everything in life. And He will make a way, even when it seems impossible. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Well, Lord, we thank You, God, for Your word. And we ask, oh Lord, that You would give us eyes to see and ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church. And that You would help us to be the witnesses You called us to be. That we would be able to testify and share the word of the Lord and not hold back or miss a word, but that we would be true, even though we suffer through the challenges and difficulties of life, that Your will and Your ways will bring upon us. It is okay because You are with us to deliver us, and we trust You in all our ways. In Jesus' name we pray, and we give You thanks, oh God. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. And amen. Hallelujah.
Yes. Oh, just save us forever.